In the field of botany, we have come to know recently that even the plants have got sexes, male and female. Previously, we did not know that. Even the unisexual plant has got distinct characteristics of male and female. The Quran says in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 53, it is Allah who sends down water from the sky and causes diverse pairs of plants to grow, each separate from the other. That means the plants have got sexes, male and female. The Quran says in Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13, verse number 3, they have created every kind of fruit in pairs, two and two. Even the fruits have got sexes, male and female. In the field of zoology, the Holy Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 38, that we have created every living animal that lives on the earth and every bird that flies on the wings in the air to live in communities like you. Today, science has discovered that even the animals and birds live in community like the human beings. The Quran describes the flight of the bird in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse number 79, that do you not look at the bird subjected in the midst in the air? None of them can hold them up except with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran repeats in Surah Mulk, chapter 67, verse number 19, do you not observe the birds above you? They spread their wings and they fold it. None can hold them up except with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He watches over all things. This verse of the Holy Quran, there is a very striking resemblance with what modern science has discovered today, that the birds have got a certain migratory programming in the nervous system. That's the reason that young birds, without any prior experience, can take flights of thousands of miles without a guide. And they come back to the departure point also. And a very good example is given by Professor Hamburger in his book, Power and Fragility, of the mutton bird. The mutton bird lives in the Pacific. It has a journey of more than 15,000 miles. And it takes about 6 months. And it comes back to the departure point in a delay of not more than 1 week. How is it possible? Scientists say there has to be a certain programming of these birds. Who's programming them? But naturally, as the Holy Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them up. The Arabic word amsaka, meaning to seize or to hold. The Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse number 68 and 69, that it is the Lord who has taught the bees to build cells in hills, in trees, and human habitations, and to eat of what the earth produces, and to find the spacious path of the Lord with great skill. What does the Quran mean by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the bee to find the spacious path of the Lord? Von Frisch, the scientist, he got the Nobel Prize in 1973 when he described the behavior of the animals, especially the communication method of the bee. And today we have come to know that whenever a worker bee finds a new flower or a new garden from where it can take nectar, it goes and tells its fellow bees the exact direction and map of that new flower or garden. It's called as the bee dance. Only today we have come to know by high photographic method how is this communication given. The gender used in the Holy Quran in these verses of Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 68 and 69, is a female gender, kulli or fasluki, which means a female bee. Previously we thought it was the male bee which was the worker bee. No wonder Shakespeare in his play Henry IV, he writes that the soldier bee, the male bee, goes and reports to the king. Today we have come to know it is not the king which they report to, it is the queen And the worker bee is not the male bee, it's a female bee. Imagine, Quran speaks about the gender of the worker bee 1400 years ago, which we have discovered today. The Holy Quran says, in Surah An-Kabut, chapter 29, verse number 41, that as to those who take for protectors, anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they build for themselves houses like that of the spider. And wherein, the house of the spider is fragile, it is delicate. Besides the Quran saying that anyone who takes for protectors, anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the physical nature of their house will be like that of the spider, fragile, delicate, flimsy. It also gives a reference to the family life, which we have come to know today, that many a time the female spider kills the male spider. The Quran says in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse number 17 and 18, that before Solomon marched the host of jinns, men and birds, and when they reached a lowly valley of ants, one of the ants said, "Get ye into your habitation, lest Solomon and his host unknowingly will trample you beneath the feet." People will think, what kind of a fairy tale book is the Holy Quran? This book, the Holy Quran, is speaking about ants. Ants talking among themselves. It's a fairy tale book. Today we have come to know that any animal or any insect which has the closest resemblance to that of the human being, it is the ant. The ant bury the dead the same way as the human beings do. They have a sophisticated method and division of labor where they have manager, supervisor, workers, etc. They very often meet to chat. They have a sophisticated method of communication. They have marketplaces where they exchange goods. And when they sow the grain in winter, and if the grain begins to bud, the ants cut the bud as though they knew that budding will cause rotting of the grain. And monsoon, if the grain gets wet, they bring it out in the sunlight to dry. Surely you might have seen the ants carrying grains in the sunlight to dry, as though they knew that humidity will cause the development of root system, which will cause rotting of the grain. So Quran speaks about the advanced nature of the ants 1400 years ago. In the field of medicine, the Holy Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse number 669, that from the belly of the bee you get a drink of varying colors in which there is healing for mankind. It's recently we have come to know that the honey we have is derived from the bee. It's the bee which is responsible for the honey. We did not know about this before. And today we know honey has got high nutritive value. It's rich in vitamin K and fructose. And it has got mild antiseptic properties. No wonder the Russian soldiers, they used honey to cover up their wounds, which prevented the evaporation of moisture and left very little scar tissue. Any person suffering from an allergy of a particular plant, if honey produced from that plant is given, that person starts developing resistance to that allergy. In the field of physiology, it was Ibn Nafis who 600 years after the revelation of the Holy Quran described the blood circulation, and 1000 years after the revelation of the Holy Quran, that is 400 years after Ibn Nafis described the blood circulation, William Harvey, he made it famous to the Western world. The food that we eat, it enters the stomach, it enters the intestine. From the intestine, it goes into the blood vessel of the intestine and enters the blood circulation. And the blood circulation takes the food substance to various organs, including the mammary glands, which produce milk. The Quran speaks about the blood circulation and the production of milk in a nutshell in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse number 66, where it says, that verily in the cattle is a lesson for you. We give you to drink from what is within the body, coming from the conjunction of the constituent of the intestine and blood, milk which is pure and pleasant for those who drink. The Quran says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 21, which is also recited by Akari, the Ashraf Muhammadi. It says that verily in the cattle is an instructive sign for you. We give you to drink from what is within the body, in which there is various benefits, and of the meat you can eat. Quran describes the blood circulation and the production of milk in a nutshell 1400 years ago. In the field of embryology, there were a group of Arab students who collected all the matter in the Holy Quran dealing with embryology, and they followed the guidance of the Holy Quran in Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verse 59, which says, if you are in doubt, ask the person who knows, ask the person who is knowledgeable. So they took all these data given in the Holy Quran dealing with embryology and presented it to Prophet Keith Moore. Prophet Keith Moore is the head and chairman of the Department of Anatomy in the University of Toronto in Canada, and is one of the leading authorities in the world in the field of embryology. When Professor Keith Moore went through the translation of the various verses of the Quran dealing with embryology, he said that most of the thing which the Quran speaks about embryology is matching with the latest discoveries made in the field of embryology. But there are a couple of things which I cannot say that they are right. Neither can I say that they are wrong, because I myself not know about it. And one such verse was from Surah Iqra or Surah Alaq, chapter 96, verse number 1 and 2, which says, Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaq. Read, recite, or proclaim, in the name of thy Lord who created the human beings from something which clings, a leech-like substance. So Prophet Keith Moore said, I do not know whether the embryo looks like a leech or not. So he went in his laboratory and under a very powerful microscope examined the shape of the early stage of embryo and compared it with a photograph of a leech. And he was astonished at the striking resemblance. And when he was asked about 80 questions on embryology taken from the Holy Quran and Hadith, he said that if you would have asked me all these things 30 years ago, I would not be able to answer more than 50% of this. Because embryology, the development of embryology, is just recently, hardly 30 to 50 years, it's advanced. And Professor Keith Moore, he has written a book, The Developing Human. And in his new edition, the third edition, he has incorporated the new things which he found from the Quran and the Hadith, for which he got an award for the best medical book written in that year by any single author. And when I was doing my MBBS in the first year, we referred to this book, Developing Human by Keith Moore. If you wanted to score high marks in embryology, we referred to the book by Keith Moore. If you wanted to get just passing marks, we referred to Inderbir Singh. But if you wanted to score, we had to refer to the book by Professor Keith Moore. And later on, this book was translated into several languages of the world. Professor Keith Moore said, I have got no objection in accepting that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of God Almighty, and that the Holy Quran has to be a divine revelation. The Holy Quran says in Surah Tariq, chapter 86, verse number 5 to 7, let no man think from what he is created. He is created from a drop, emitted from a space between the backbone and the ribs. Today we have come to know the genital organs, the testes in the male and the ovaries in the female. In the embryonic age, they develop from a space where the kidney is present today, between the backbone and the 11th and 12th ribs. Later on, the testes, they descend to the inguinal canal into the scrotum, and the ovaries in the female to the true pelvis. But in the embryonic age, it's in the space which the Quran speaks about, between the backbone, the spinal column, and the 11th and 12th ribs. even in the adult life, after the genital organs are defense, yet they receive the blood supply, the nerve supply, and the lymphatic drainage from the same space between the spinal column and the 11th and 12th ribs. The Holy Quran mentions in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 13, as well as in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 5, that they have created the human beings from anutfa. The Arabic word nutfa, that the human beings have been created from nutfa, is mentioned in the Quran no less than 11 times. And the word nutfa is mentioned 12 times. But human beings created from nutfa is mentioned 11 times. The Arabic word nutfa means a minute quantity of liquid. The Holy Quran says in Surah Sajdah, chapter 32, verse number 8, that we have created the human beings from a quintessence of liquid. The Arabic word is sulala, meaning a minute quantity or the best part of the whole. And today we have come to know only one sperm actually it penetrates the ovum. And only one sperm is required to fertilize the ovum out of the tens of millions of sperms which the man ejaculates. Quran refers to it as sulala, the best part of the whole, or nutfa, a minute quantity. The Quran says in Surah Insan, chapter 76, verse number 2, Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshaj. The Arabic word means nutfatin amshaj, means we have created the human being from a minute quantity of mingled fluid. Nutfatin amshaj. Minute quantity of mingled fluid. This can refer to the male and female gametes after they have formed the zygote. It yet remains a nutfa, a minute quantity of liquid. It can also refer to the spermatic fluid, which contains several secretions from various glands, like the testes, the serous fluid, which contains the spermatozoons. It also includes the secretions from the seminal vesicles, the seminal fluid, which is a reservoir of spermatozoons, but does not contain the fertilizing agent. Also, it refers to the secretion of the prostatic gland, which gives the creamy texture and the characteristic odor to the sperm, as well as glands attached to the urinary tract, the Cooper's gland or the Litter's gland, which gives the specific texture of mucus to the sperm. The Quran refers to as nutfatin amshaj, minute quantity of mingled fluid. Male and female gametes surrounded by these fluids which are responsible for the birth of the human being. The Holy Quran says in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse number 6, we have created the human beings in the wombs of their mother, in stages, one after the other, in three waves of darkness. Professor Keith Moore said, these three waves of darkness refers to the anterior abdominal wall of the mother, the uterine wall, and the amniocorionic membrane. The Quran also speaks about genetics. The Quran says in Surah Najm, chapter 53, verse number 45 and 46, that we have created the human beings and made them into male and female through minute quantity of liquid which is ejaculated. But naturally, if it is ejaculated, it has to be a male fluid. Quran says it is the male which is responsible for the sex of the child. The Quran repeats this message in Surah Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse number 37 to 39, that they have created the human beings from a minute quantity of sperm and then made it into an alaka, a leech-like substance, then gave it due proportion, then made it into sex, male and female. The Arabic word, nutfatam, min mani yumna, means a minute quantity of sperm. Quran says a minute quantity of sperm is required for sex of the child. Today's science has come to know that the sex of the child depends upon the 23rd pair of chromosomes. And it is the sperm which is responsible for deciphering the sex of the child. If it's X, X, it's a female. If it's an XY, it's a male. Quran had mentioned this 1400 years ago. In our society, especially in the Indian society, for reasons known best to them, people prefer having a male child. And suppose the daughter-in-law, if she gives birth to a female child, the mother-in-law normally blames the daughter-in-law. If the mother-in-law has to blame anyone, she should blame the son, not the daughter-in-law. Because the Holy Quran and science tells us that it is the male which is responsible for the sex of the child and not the female. The Quran describes the various embryological stages in great detail in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 12 to 14. It says, "We have created the human beings from a quintessence of clay, then made it into a drop, placed it into Qararim Makin, place of security, and made it into an alaka, something which clings, a leaf-like substance. Made that alaka into mudga, a chewed-like lump. Made that mudga into izama, bone. Then clothed the izama, bone, with lahem, that is flesh. And then made it into a creature. Blessed is he, the best to create." This verse of the Holy Quran, from 12 to 14 of Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, describes the embryological stages in great detail. It starts with saying, "We have placed the nutfa, the minute quantities, into Qararim Makin, a place of security." Today, embryology tells us that the embryo is protected posteriorly by the backbone and the posterior muscles of the mother, anteriorly by the anti-abdominal wall, by the uterine wall, as well as the amniocorionic membrane. It continues. "Then we made it into an alaka, a leaf-like substance, something which clings." The Arabic word alaka has got three meanings. Something which clings, a leaf-like substance, as well as blood clot. Alhamdulillah, all three meanings are applicable here. Because the embryo, in the initial stages, it's clings to the uterine wall of the mother. It looks like a leaf, as confirmed by Professor Keith Moore. It also behaves like a leaf. It behaves like a blood sucker. It derives the blood supply and the nutrition from the mother. And at this stage, if an abortion takes place, the concept is, it looks like a blood clot. It looks like a blood clot as well as a leaf. So Quran, in one word, it implies three meanings which all are applicable. Quran mentions this word alaka no less than six times. Twice in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 12 to 14. Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 5. Surah Ghafir, chapter number 40, verse 67. Surah Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 38. As well as in Surah Iqra, chapter 96, verse number 2. Six times it's mentioned. Previously, in the 17th century, people thought that the sperm, it evolved a miniature human being. A miniature human being was present in the head of the sperm, which later on developed into the uterus of the mother as a newborn baby. This was believed by Swammerdam, who proposed the perforation theory. Later on, when they discovered that the ovum is bigger than the sperm, Bigraf and others, they said, it is not the sperm which boils a miniature human being, it is the ovum which boils a miniature human being. Later on, Maupertuis, in the 18th century, he proposed the biparental theory. But both are responsible, as the Quran says, both the sperm and the ovum is responsible for the birth of the child. Quran says, "We made that alaka into a mudga." Mudga means chewed like lump, or something tacky which can be put in the mouth. Prophet Keith Moore says both these meanings are applicable, because it is something tacky which can be put in the mouth. And later on, he took a plaster seal and bit it between his teeth to look like a mudga, a chewed like lump. And he was astonished that the teeth mark resembled the somite from which developed the spinal column. The Quran says, "We made that mudga into izaman, bones. We clothed the izaman with lahem, flesh and muscles." Allah says, "Then we create the al-nasha stage. We create a new creature, What does the Quran mean, we have created a new creature? Translate tells us that the embryological stages of development, before this stage, in the rabbit, in the fish, in the other animals, is similar to that of the human being. It's only at this stage of Al-Nasha that the particular characteristics of the human beings are seen, the head, the hands, and the feet. The Quran says, we have made a new creature. And ends by saying, blessed is he who is the best to create. Imagine, Quran gives the various embryological stages in great detail. There was a person who put forward an argument. It's nothing new. Maybe some Arab, he opened up the abdomen of a pregnant woman and checked the shape and wrote in the Quran. He didn't realize that all these stages the Quran describes, it cannot be observed with a naked human eye. You require a very powerful microscope. When Professor Marshall Johnson was asked to comment on these verses, he was the head of the Department of Anatomy in the Daniel Institute in Sir Thomas Jefferson's hospital in Philadelphia, USA. He said, it can be possible that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had a microscope and he observed it. Then he was reminded that microscope was not invented 400 years ago. So Professor Marshall Johnson laughed loudly and he said, yes, I know that. And I've seen the first microscope with my own eyes. It hardly enlarges to 10 times and the picture is not even clear. Then he said, these stages has to be a divine revelation. He was further asked to comment on the verse of the Quran from Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 5, which says, we have created the human being from dust, then made it into an alaqa, made it into a mudga, partly formed and partly unformed. When you take an incision at this stage and analyze the embryo and cut up the internal organs, you find out that the internal organs at this particular stage, some of the organs are formed, while the other organs, they aren't formed. So Professor Marshall Johnson said, if I said that it is a complete creation, I'm only describing those organs which are formed. If I say it's an incomplete creation, I'm only describing those organs which are not formed. There can be no better description than the Holy Quran saying partly formed and partly unformed. Because some organs are formed, the others are not formed. Some cells are differentiated, the others are not differentiated. Professor Keith Moore said that today in embryology, we have got several stages of the embryological development. But it is so difficult to understand it because it has got numerical stages, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. The Quran bases the stages on shapes and spiritual development, which is far superior and easy than what modern embryology has done today. If the embryologists, they describe according to the stage of the Quran, it's far more easier for them to describe and understand than what modern embryology has done, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. The Quran says in Surah Abasa, chapter 80, verse 19 and 20, we have created the human being from minute quantity and we have made the passage of birth easy. People normally wonder that how can the birth canal, which hardly admits 3 to 4 fingers, how can a baby come out of it? The bony structure is so rigid, it has got ligaments. How is it possible? Quran says, Allah makes the pathway easy. And today we have come to know that how is it possible? Relaxin is being secreted by the ovaries and the placenta, which loosens the ligaments of the pelvic joints and softens the cervix. The uterine contraction that takes place, it pushes the baby downwards in the birth canal. The bag of water which ruptures, it provides a slippery surface for the baby to come out, to slide. And the various movements of the baby while birth facilitates the movement through the irregular pelvic joint. Quran says that Allah makes the pathway easy. Quran is giving you signs. It's showing you various embryological stages. Who could have described all these stages? They're asking you a question. Will you not then believe? Will you not then believe in the Holy Quran? The Quran says in Surah Sajdah, chapter 32, verse number 9. They have given the human beings the faculty of hearing and sight. It's repeated in today, in Psalm. Chapter 76, verse number 2. They have given the faculty of hearing and sight to the human being. Today we have come to know the first sense to develop is the sense of hearing. Quran says, first hearing, then sight. By the fifth month of pregnancy, it's complete the ear. Later on, in the seventh month of pregnancy, the eye sticks open. Imagine, Quran gives the order. First comes hearing, then comes sight. Professor Durga Rao, who's an expert in the field of marine geology, who's teaching in the University of King Abdulaziz in Jeddah, he was asked to give his comments on a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah Nur, chapter 24, verse number 40, which says that the state of the unbeliever is like the depth of darkness in a vast deep ocean, overwhelmed with waves topped with waves, topped with a dark cloud. The depth of darkness, one layered over the other. When a man stretches out his hand, he can hardly see it. Allah gives light to who he wishes. If he does not give light, you cannot see. Professor Durga Rao, he said that this verse of the Holy Quran is not speaking about a normal sea. It's speaking about a deep sea. And today, only with the help of things like submarines, we have come to know the depth of the ocean is dark. Previously, we did not know that. Because a man cannot go unaided more than 20 to 30 meters underwater. And if he goes more than 200 meters unaided, he dies. It's today we have come to know by the instrument that we have that the depth of ocean is dark. And he said, this darkness is due to two phenomena. First, is due to successive absorption of the color in layers. As we all know, the light has got seven colors. And we learned in school, for remembering easy, Vibhyor, the colors of the rainbow, Vibhyor. V for violet, I for indigo, B for blue, G for green, Y for yellow, O for orange, red, R for red. Vibhyor, seven colors. Professor Durga Rao said that when the light enters the ocean, by the first 15 to 20 meters, the red color is absorbed. And if a man goes underwater about 30 meters deep, and if he bleeds, if he has a wound, he will not be able to see his own blood because red color does not reach there. Later on, 30 to 50 meters absorbs orange. Yellow is absorbed by next 50 to 100 meters. Green by 100 to 200 meters. And blue beyond 200 meters. And violet and indigo much above 200 meters. Therefore, the layers of darkness in the ocean is due to the absorption of light in successive layers. The second reason for these layers, Professor Durga Rao said, is due to barriers like the clouds. When the sunlight hits the cloud absorbs the light. Therefore, there is darkness below the cloud. Then, the light is scattered. After getting scattered, it hits at the superficial waves of the ocean. This is the second barrier. The waves reflect the light further, the superficial waves of the ocean. Those light rays, which are not reflected, they enter the ocean. Therefore, you have two types of layers in the ocean. The superficial layer and the deep layer. The superficial layer is warm and lit up. The deep layers, they are dark. And this superficial and deep layer of the ocean, it is divided by internal waves. We human beings did not know that even there were internal waves. We only knew of superficial waves. It was only in 1900 that we have come to know that there are even waves deep in the water. They are known as internal waves, which divide the superficial part of the ocean and the deep part of the ocean. Imagine, the Quran mentions that. The unbeliever's state is like the depths of darkness in a vast deep ocean. Over them, with waves topped with waves. That means deep waves are there, internal waves are there, topped with superficial waves. And further continues, topped with dark clouds. The clouds are the barrier. And even the cloud band layers. And when a man stretches out his hand, he can hardly see. Only if Allah gives light, can he see. Even the fish that swim in the deep part of the ocean, they cannot see unless they have their own light with them. They have their own light with them. Even the submarine that goes underwater, it carries its own light, otherwise they cannot see underwater. So when Prophet Durga Rao was asked, how come this is mentioned in the Quran 14 years ago? He said, it's impossible for any human being to mention this verse. This Quran has to be a divine revelation. The Holy Quran says in Surah Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse number 3 and 4. The unbelievers ask, that how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be able to reassemble our bones? Allah says, we can not only reassemble the bones, we can even reconstruct in perfect order the very fingertips. When the unbelievers say, after we are buried, after our bones have got disintegrated, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment reassemble our bones? So Allah says, he will not only be able to reassemble the bones, he can even reconstruct your very fingertips in perfect order. It's referring to the fingerprinting method, which was discovered by Sir Francis Gold in 1880. And he said that no two fingerprints of two individuals are equal even in a million people. No wonder the police, the CID, the CIA, the FBI, they use fingerprinting methods to identify the culprit. Quran speaks about that 14 years ago. Allah can not only reassemble the bones, he can even reconstruct in perfect order the very fingertips. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 82, أَفَلَا يُدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do not you consider the Quran with care. Do not you ponder over the Quran with care. That if it had been from anyone besides Allah, there would have been many contradictions. There would have been many discrepancies. Quran is giving you a challenge. Here is the Holy Quran. Try and take out a single discrepancy. Try and take out a single fault in the Holy Quran. It's giving you a challenge, an open challenge. Why don't you analyze the Quran with care? Had it been from anyone besides Allah, there would have been many contradictions. I would like to end my talk by giving the example of Prophet Tagala Tagashan. Previously, the doctors, they thought that only the brain was responsible for feeling of pain. It's now we have come to know that there are certain receptors in the skin called as pain receptors, which are also responsible for feeling of pain. No wonder. When a patient of burn injury comes to a doctor, he takes a pin and he pricks it in that area. If the patient feels pain, doctor is very happy. It means it's a superficial burn. The pain receptors are intact. If he does not feel pain, it's a deep burn. The pain receptors have been destroyed. The Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 56, as to those who reject our signs, we shall cast them into the hellfire. And as often as their skins are roasted, we shall give them fresh skins so that they shall feel the pain. Quran says if your skin is roasted, we shall give you fresh skin so that you will feel the pain. Giving an indication, there is something in the skin which is responsible for the feeling of pain. Indication of the pain receptor. When Professor Tagada Tagashan, who is the head of the Department of Anatomy in Chiang Mai University in Thailand, he was given the translation of this verse, and he has spent a lot of time in doing research on pain receptors. He said it's impossible that Quran can mention this. We discovered it recently. How is it possible? He did not agree with it. Later on, after checking with the Holy Quran, after verifying the Holy Quran, he was so impressed that in the 8th Medical Saudi Conference in Riyadh, in the conference, he said the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.